Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, all right. Hello. It's a Tuesday, but it feels like a Friday to me. I don't know why. Remember when Canada was America done right? Remember when Canada was innocent? Well, here we go. Canada's health minister demands COVID booster shots every 9 months, just like a baby's birth cycle, to keep up vaccine status up to date. That's the new one, up to date. There's no more fully vaccinated. We'll get there. Last month, Canada moved the needle for the concept of being quote unquote fully vaccinated for its citizens, saying two doses don't work anymore. Well, now that's a surprise. And now that requires three doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to qualify. The nation's totalitarian health authorities took to Canada's CTV to make the announcement. He noted there is now a transition to a new definition of up-to-date vaccinations. Up-to-date. Are you up-to-date? Sounds kind of, anyway. Last June 30th, Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos reported that Canadians will be required to get a booster shot every 9 months, forever and ever and ever. I added the forever, but you know it's true. Possibly forever. Oh, there it is. In order to meet the government's definition of up-to-date vaccinations, the immunity conferred by primary series of two doses of vaccines administered in 2021 has now waned, Duclos said during the press conference. It's waned? Really? Are you sure? I mean, how do you know? I think we all know. Scientific studies clearly show that our protection from the initial two-dose vaccine decreases over time. You don't say. He clarified. Duclos then told the reporters that Omicron taught us that we would never be completely protected against COVID-19 because the virus is constantly evolving, just like my mind. The virus evolves, and Omicron cruelly made us aware that we will never be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Like the virus, our immunity also evolves if we didn't take the experimental injections, I think. And Omicron made us understand that the two doses are no longer enough. We have to maintain our vaccinations up to date, he argued. Duclos made it clear that up to date means Canadians should get a booster shot every 9 months, as the term fully vaccinated no longer makes sense. Well, let me give you a hint, bro. It never did. We will never be fully vaccinated against COVID-19, he says again. Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos says Canadians need to be up to date on their vaccines, which he describes as getting the COVID vaccine every 9 months. Well, the booster rollout, this is my words now, are being accepted by fewer and fewer all the time. The narrative is shifting, and the most vocal voices on social media are calling BS on the injections, at least the social medias that I follow. But 2 years ago, or even 1 year ago, this was an opposite equation. But people are seeing the sudden deaths. People know personally many that have been injured. It's hard to fathom how they keep doubling down on a failing agenda with trying to vaccinate the children recently, for instance, and now stuff like this. When I first started speaking out against all this madness, a quote-unquote friend told me to get vaxxed and shut up. He also added the phrase, read the room. And you know, he was right about that. He was right about that part. To read the room then, it was madness to speak up. I say this to measure where we are now, the slow-moving narrative shift that will culminate into an explosion. And the way that they keep pushing this stuff is what is going to finally cause the dam to break. I would say to them, as my quote-unquote friend said to me before, read the room. You will get some people to go along with anything, sure. But at this point, anyone willing to inject themselves with this experiment gone wrong every 9 months really needs their head examined. You're listening to TNT.
Your trusted news source.
Something you just can't question.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Scott Scherer is here to talk about a worldwide genocide. That's right. What is this genocide? The jab, birth rates reduced, death, strokes, and cancer. The disobedient will become the target once the population is reduced, he said. He wants to talk about it, a worldwide genocide, and what we can do about it with Scott Scherer. What's up, dude?
Hey, great, great modification with the new song. I like it.
Listen, you sent me this wild list, talking points, worldwide genocide. Your daughter Grace sacrificed her life for me and all who will hear. Your daughter who died by the hands of the hospital system that you have researched into to a great degree, and we've covered in previous interviews, and how she was murdered by them, essentially, by giving end of the life medication and a do not resuscitate order that was not approved by the family and was completely unnecessary. So it's and you've researched it to a great degree, but this list you sent me as well that you want to get into about this being a genocide, I think it's compelling. You heard what I read about the Canadians, you know, every 9 months now, a booster. The fact that there was a Wall Street Journal article I'm going to read later about vaccinating kids and how insane that is. And even the Wall Street Journal has an opinion piece about how insane that is, and there's really no reason for it. Yeah, at the low end of the evil scale, you could say, oh, it's because, you know, there's some kind of improved liability in terms of insurance if they give this vaccine to children or to infants. On the upper side of the evil scale, it reeks of a genocide, and that's your take, and I know many other people believe that is what's happening here. What you think, Scott?
It's interesting as I research more. This is there's a lot more people that have come to this conclusion, and I think the word that is most appropriate is Holocaust, because what we are in the middle of right now, I believe, is the interim solution to use the phrase that was used in Nazi Germany, and we are quickly approaching the final solution unless the population wakes up. And that's what I've come to the conclusion of after all this research. Over the last month, as you know, we had the Epoch Times front page a couple weeks ago, and where we announced the genocide. But we've been, you know, I stumbled across this for the first time a couple months ago and just really thought this can't be. But as the research keeps going and going, it's become the only way that I can see it now, because there's so many things. Think through right now, we have various states and mayors that are announcing that for your child to attend school this fall, they're going to have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, so, New York just announced that. Yeah.
I mean, this is, so it's going to become insane. The next thing, and then parents are going to foolishly do this because they're more concerned about their jobs or whatever without even considering what's going on.
Well, I don't know if you can make a blanket statement like that, because the booster rollout, or, you know, is kind of failing. I think the incentive to get this jab into 6-month-year-olds failed. There's a lot of waking up going on. I mean, again, I always, you know, always talk about this, and I'm in a bit of an echo chamber. I acknowledge that, but it's just like, I don't know, man. I follow all kinds of people on social media and reading comments. You can learn a lot, you know, by the temperature. And almost all the time, if people suggest things like this Canadian Minister of Health or something like that, the comments are brutal. About, like, are, you know, and if somebody dies, there was a OnlyFans model that just died, and I didn't even think about the jab. 31, I guess, because she was 31, I guess because of her profession, you know, I judged and I didn't even consider the jab personally, which is weird because I usually always think of that first thing, but I assumed maybe it was drugs or lifestyle stuff. No, under the comments there, it was just emojis of syringes, and, you know, so people are waking up. I you're right that there will be a lot of people that acquiesce to this, unfortunately, but I don't think it's, I do have optimism. Do you not agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree in general, and I'm normally more optimistic than I am today. You know, what I'm optimistic about is the fact that God wins. So as I see this now, originally when COVID first was announced and you could see these things happening, I thought this is a spiritual battle. But now I really see it as a spiritual battle where, there's a good chunk of the population, and especially the elites running this, they're almost as if they are controlled by a spirit that we're not familiar with, which is, you know, obviously the spirit of Satan, not the spirit that we're optimistic about.
Yeah, it's interesting because I it's hard to fathom how you'd go along with this or what amount of power. I mean, I just think people are built different. You're right. I think some people are just influenced by demonic spirits. It's the only way I can figure out why they're acting this way, you know, because what amount of money or power could help you sleep at night if you know you're hurting and killing many, many people? Yeah, I just don't understand it. And I'm not sitting here claiming I'm a saint, but one thing I don't want to do is hurt people, you know?
Well, that's right on. Beliefs have always motivated actions. So, you know, the beliefs behind this are pretty clear. You know, if a person doesn't believe in God, then you would come up with the sustainability agenda. You'd have to, because you realize there's, you know, the ever-increasing population, the climate worry. So you'd come up with climate control and population control as your agenda. So the people who are doing this, they actually believe it's right. And so their actions are simply consistent with their beliefs, same as your and my actions are consistent with our beliefs. They happen to be completely opposite of theirs, but actions always follow beliefs. It's the way that God wired us.
So in your view, they think it's justifiable because of sustainability. We need to depopulate. We need to make the earth more sustainable. There really is an environmental threat going on and all that. You think that it's just genuine and it's down to that?
Absolutely. Just because a person has a false belief doesn't mean they're not going to act on it. False beliefs get acted on all the time.
Well, what about the Nazis? They actually were environmentalists. I just have come to find out because I'm interviewing this guy, William Kay, actually right after you. And he's got this book called Green Swastika. And it's very interesting that they were sort of the most sort of environmental regime the world has known, which is, I plan to find out much more about that soon. But were they... Was that their agenda as well, depopulation? Or I mean, maybe my point of bringing them up is maybe there's just this evil in the heart of man that sometimes takes over and just wants death and destruction. Or am I missing what the Nazis were about?
Well, I don't think you're missing it. And the evil in the heart of man is what's scriptural. I mean, God says that we're inherently bad, not inherently good. So a person without God can only do bad. So this, to me, is not surprising. It's surprising because we've never dealt with this in our lifetime. And this paradigm that is so hard to adopt. You know, for me to believe, for example, that Grace was murdered, boy, that took me almost 6 months after she died to come to that conclusion. And now, you know, when I first saw the genocide idea, I thought, oh, this cannot be, you know, because you just can't comprehend that man is this bad without God. But, you know, God didn't miss the mark. He said it was going to be this bad. And it's been this bad throughout history over and over and over. I mean, look at the Old Testament stories. Why did God create the flood? you know, it was because it was this bad. So this should not surprise us, but it does surprise us because you just think about it in terms of modern day society. You can't come to grips with it. But even look at the Nuremberg Code. So what the Nuremberg Code attempted to do was to legislate morality. And that's what we always do as men, is we always want to legislate morality, but you can't. It never works. So Joseph, if you and I trust each other and we want to enter into a contract, the purpose of the contract isn't to bind each other. It's so that we remember what we've agreed to, because our memories are faulty. If I don't trust you and I want to enter into a contract, and I think the contract is going to be the thing that binds you, I'm going to get taken to the cleaners every time, because you can't contract morality.
What do you mean by that? Explain that a little further. That's interesting, and I've never heard it put like that.
Well, if two men trust each other, we should be able to make a handshake and take the handshake, right, and that becomes our contract. But we would reduce it to writing because there's, you know, over time you forget what we agreed to. Okay, so that's just a gentleman's agreement reduced to writing. But
explain it in terms of the Nuremberg Code. That's what piqued my interest, actually, is like, how did you mean it by Nuremberg?
Well, what I mean is that, so now look at the informed consent doctrine came out of the Nuremberg trials.
Right.
And now we have, okay, so now what's
and we
happening?
Don't have it. Yeah, you're right. Good. That's interesting. So you're right.
We can't contract that, because as soon as, you know, it takes the heart that, it takes a heart that wants to follow a moral code, which is God's code, and the only people who can follow it are God's people.
I feel like you just quietly dropped the mic, Scott, with that one. That's really good. That's interesting. That, I mean, it's really true. You can't legislate morality, and the Nuremberg is an excellent example of that, because they've done away with informed consent. They've basically unfollowed all the rules that were laid down by Nuremberg, and you're right. I mean, it's undeniable. Let's look at your list, that you sent me, which is talking points of a worldwide genocide. Everyone who is undesirable, it's not safe to be hit by a car anymore. What genocide? 1, the jab. A, birth rates reduced, deaths, strokes, cancer, hospitals, disabled and elderly first to go, unvaccinated already happening. Now, unvaccinated, what do you mean by that? Because me and all my unvaccinated friends are the only ones not getting sick.
Well, but look at what's going to happen. Would you feel comfortable going to a hospital right now?
No. No, I would not.
Because the first thing they ask you is if you're vaccinated.
Right.
You know, so then, you know, our own president had said that the vaccinated should get priority treatment in hospitals over the unvaccinated. And our own experience in the hospital with Grace is that, right in the doctor's reports, it said, if Grace would have been vaccinated, she wouldn't be here. Well, that's certainly not true, but they already had a bias toward the unvaccinated.
Right.
And, you know, so that's why it's not safe to get hit by a car anymore, because if you're unvaccinated, you get hit by a car, you get taken by an ambulance unconscious to a hospital. It used to be there was an inherent trust that the hospital's goal was to get you well, but that trust is broken.
Absolutely.
With many of the hospitals, the trust with the
media is at an all-time low as well. I mean, so I think that will permeate into the hospital system, even for people who aren't, madcap conspiracy lunatics like me and you, Scott. And I'm obviously kidding when I say that. So next on your list is Christians next to go. We got to go to a break, and I want to read this thing first, though, and then we'll go into the Christians next to go on your worldwide genocide list. Join Misty Winston from Freedom Fest 2022 at the Mirage in Las Vegas from July 13th to the 16th. Freedom Fest is an annual festival where free minds meet to celebrate great books, great ideas, and great looks. Now, I added the great looks. That should be in there. It rhymes with books. Great thinkers is what they actually wrote. In an open-minded environment, Freedom Fest, the largest liberty event in the world, heard only on the fantastic TNT radio. We'll be right back after these words with Scott Shera on TNT.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently? Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say, ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
The PCR test for monkeypox. Another crap PCR test for another crap virus. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Scott Shera is here to talk about a worldwide genocide. And he says the Christian population are next to go. Oh no, they killed the Christians before. You know. Scott Shera is here to talk about a worldwide genocide. Oh no, they killed the Christians a long time ago. And they might do it again before we know. What do you think, Scott? That's a pretty good one.
I enjoy the... I think we should just do a whole music hour. I think it's good.
Worldwide. The why that one is good is because worldwide genocide. Oh no! You can, and then hand claps right there. Choo-choo. Listen, if you're a rock and roller and you want to make great rock music, all you gotta do is put hand claps and a backwards guitar solo. Job done. Let me produce your album. All right, so Scott, let's get serious. Christians next to go. What? I'm a Christian. Did I come out of the Christian closet too soon? Have I put myself in danger? Scott, what's going on?
Well, what did Jesus tell us? He said, in this world, you will have trouble.
I know. And he's been so right, dude. Ever since I came out of the Christian closet, bro, it's been nothing but trouble, dude. Like...
So just look at some facts relative to Grace's situation. So
right.
Does it matter anything other than your statistics when a hospital's treating you? That should be the only thing that matters. It shouldn't matter whether you're male, female, disabled, or able-bodied. In Grace's case, they mentioned she had Down syndrome 36 times in the 22 reports. Should it matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated?
Well, the only reason those things would matter, the disabled part, would be if it pertained to how they would proceed medically. But I agree. I get where you're coming from with it. That wasn't the reasoning.
Well, they mentioned she was unvaccinated 6 times in the reports. In fact, you remember just in the first session, I said that they said she wouldn't be here if she was vaccinated. They said that we were Christians 3 times, that we're following the frontline doctors misinformation campaign 4 times. You know, so did that matter to the standard of care that Grace should have received? And the answer is no. So you can see, obviously, there's a bias. And
yeah,
you know, it's, where does this go? You know, as more, and you know, if the tide is turning, like you're suggesting, which is fantastic. You know, if the people who are in charge have bought into the agenda, think through the hospital system. They made money hand over fist with COVID. So now they're used to the government payouts being what makes them profitable. So I'm just, right. I'm only talking about the hospital system here, but the hospital system has tentacles with the doctors, nurses. So the doctor who keeps pushing, you go in for your annual physical and he pushes you for the vaccine. What's the motivation behind that? Does he actually believe it, or is it financially motivated?
I mean, oh, it's crazy. No, I mean, it's right. Financially motivated, or it's, you know, or darker. It's either financially motivated or darker. There's absolutely, yeah, these things are a disaster pretty much by every analysis, you know? So it's just, but here's the thing I want you to think about is, think of the level of mass formation psychosis, say a year ago compared to now regarding these shots. I mean, there has been a major shift, don't you think?
I think that's fantastic. When you compare it like that, I think you're right on.
Yeah, dude. I mean, so how could they, like, from that vantage point, I know they will get some more people to do this, of course, and that's terrible. But I mean, it's going to be nothing like what it was. I mean, like, I would even almost say, and again, I know I'm in an echo chamber to a degree, but I think I followed a wide level of people, and then I read comments, and those aren't even people I follow. And so you can kind of, and you know, under newspapers and stuff, and you kind of get a feel. And the amount of people that just like call BS on the injections to me is overwhelming the people that are like still trying to act like they're, it's on the up and up and the thing you're supposed to do. I mean, it's almost like an inverse proportion as to what it was a year ago. So I'll be curious to see, because obviously they're not letting up. I mean, what I just read about Canada, and then, you know, just getting it to try to get it to 6-month-year-olds and these kind of things are still going on, and mandating it for school kids, like you said, in New York and in other places. I hadn't heard about other places, but I'm assuming, yeah, it must be widespread. But I don't know, man. I don't know how they're going to get, I don't know what they're going to pull out of their behinds, so to speak.
Well, I think, you know, we have the midterm elections coming up before we know it. I think we're going to find out an awful lot there. What are they going to pull this time? I don't even know where the midterms fit with this anymore.
That seems like political theater compared to what we're talking about. Like, I guess it has significance, but it just also feels like, I don't know. I mean, to me, the next move is going to be sort of catastrophic economical, catastrophe, basically. Economic collapse is what I wanted to say. And food shortages and stuff like that, problems of that nature. And then who knows?
Yeah, I think all of that is on the agenda, and that all fits with the worldwide Holocaust that I believe is actually happening. All of that fits that narrative. So I think you're right. The midterms, the only reason the midterms have any significance to me is I just wonder what they're going to try relative to not counting all the votes or whatever shenanigans they're going to play with this time. But, you know, I don't see, you know, for many elections now, when I have said I'm not going to vote, but then the other candidate is so far out there that you almost feel obligated to vote. So I've been voting for the lesser of two evils for many, many elections now. So I certainly don't have any faith in the political side of things. I just, the curiosity as to how they're going to try to steal this next election, it'll be interesting to me.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, it's like, you know, political theater. It'll be interesting to go to the theater and watch the show, you know. So going down your list, you said the disobedient will become the target once the population is reduced. How? Banality of evil, so commonplace we don't recognize it. What do you mean by that?
So I think we broached this topic last time or the time before,
yeah,
but this is maybe the most important piece of this, because if you can see what I'm talking about through the banality of evil, then it becomes, your paradigm can start to shift. So the banality of evil means the commonplace of evil. So evil so common, we don't recognize it. So I have a few things listed, as you see, like the vaccination culture. When I'm 59 years old, when I was a kid, we all went into the gymnasium the same day and everybody got vaccinated. That was just how it was done. So that created a vaccination culture where you just had a trust for the vaccines. And unfortunately, I know several people who are in my age bracket that I was shocked got vaccinated. I asked them, what's the reason? They said, well, we wanted to travel, or, you know, we wanted to go visit our grandkids, and our kids wanted us to be vaccinated. And it's, I could hardly believe my ears when I heard them say it. But that's the vaccination culture. And so that, no vaccine has ever been good from now that I've been exposed to what's really going on. But that culture exists. So a lot of people just naively get vaccinated without thinking about it.
Right.
And the one that applies to my daughter, Grace, is the when a young person gets pregnant today, the doctor encourages the couple to have the wife get an amnio so they can tell if the child is going to have complications, specifically a disability. And relative to Down syndrome children, 67% of those are already aborted in the United States. In Denmark, it's 98%. Some countries have eliminated Down syndrome 100% through abortion. But, you know, so what does that mean under the banality of evil? So that idea that the doctor promoting an amnio, and then if the result comes back negative, the doctor encouraging an abortion so this disabled child doesn't complicate your life, that is common. That's become accepted. So that's totally evil, but that's the banality of evil. It's been happening for so long, it's just common. And the other one that I think is important, actually there's several here that are, but the nursing home situation.
Before you go to nursing homes though, Scott, did you guys do that test before Grace was born?
We didn't. We found out she had Down syndrome was when she came out. When she came out, I said to my wife, I think Grace has Down syndrome. And so the doctors whisked her away because she needed oxygen right away. And then they came back in and then they said, we suspect your daughter has Down syndrome. And then the strangest thing happened next. They said, do you want to keep her? And it wasn't for, I know, it wasn't to abort her at that time because she's already born. But it was, they just assumed that we wouldn't want her.
Wow. Wow. That blows my mind, dude. That's insane. That's totally insane.
That's nuts.
What was your response?
Well, our response, you'll love my response. Cause I,
I know I will.
I told him, have you lost your mind? I mean, of course we weren't.
That is shocking to hear, man. I mean,
well, then the next thing, shocking. So now they made me sign a piece of paper to take her by an ambulance to a NIC unit at a different hospital. And so I signed the piece of paper and I said, get my you know, whatever you've got to do to get my wife out of here, we're going over to that other hospital. Well, we can't do that. I said, listen, I'm going to have my Suburban at the curb in 20 minutes. And if you don't have the paperwork done, I said, I will be unplugging her and I'm going to load her in myself, because we're not going to stay in a different hospital when my daughter is in a different one.
Right. And
they got it done.
Oh, so, dude, that just begs the question, how many parents answer that question differently?
Well, I mean, I think a lot do, unfortunately, and they don't realize what a gift. You know, our daughter Grace was the best gift God ever gave us. I mean, she was wonderful. She's what's motivated me to do all this work. I mean, this is God's kingdom.
Why do you think people are born with Down syndrome?
That's an easy one. Because Jesus said the most important commandment is love, and Down syndrome children and adults show what love is. They love unconditionally. They don't judge.
Right.
They love everybody. We just had my wife said to me, we'll give it to you in a very short example. She said that, boy, Grace really would have a hard time with all these boys wanting to be girls and girls wanting to be boys. You know, it's so common now. I said, oh, I don't think she would have had a hard time at all. I said, she would have listened to us explain that this is wrong based on what God wants. And then if she met somebody that was like that, she would just do it. She would just walk up to them and say, do you know what you're doing is wrong from what God tells us? She would just do it that nonchalant.
And why do you say it's wrong from what God tells us? What part of God are you quoting with that?
Well, God made male and female. I mean, it's no more complicated than that.
But what if, to push back, just to like devil's advocate, and I guess you would say literally devil's advocate. No, but devil's advocate for real, though. Isn't it conceivable that God also made people that want to transform when they're on planet Earth? Why do you assume that that isn't part of God's plan when so many people have this condition? Now, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm really being a devil's advocate here. It's a good question, though.
Well, if God made somebody a man or made somebody a woman, that's how God made them.
But arguably, he made them a man that wanted to transform into a woman. So it all depends on, you know, where you see his sort of purview of creation ending. You know what I mean?
Well, then we could say the same thing about somebody that is, that wants to, that has the propensity to be gay. It's the same situation.
But that's true, so too.
God made them. But God never changed his view of sin. That doesn't make the person any less lovable from God's perspective. But he calls sin a sin. So it's dealt with the same way. So I have a propensity to get angry if somebody starts poking me and blaming me for something that's not my fault. Okay, so yeah. God calls that a sin too. So just because that's the way that I am doesn't make it right.
But what it's about still wrong the Bible? Yeah, that's fine. But what about the Bible saying you're not supposed to judge anybody? What is your view on that? In this regard,
well, that's interesting that you say that, because I just was reading some devotions on judging. That's not
somebody, well, hey, by the way, somebody called me out on that yesterday because I was judging them about something that was evil, you know, and they were like, "You can't judge." That's what the Bible says. And I was like, well, and then she read me the quote, and it does say that. And so I had the conversation with her, like, Well, so what? You can't judge anybody for anything? It's just, I'm actually honestly asking you this question because I know you're a man who has researched this a lot. So what's your view on that?
We have a responsibility to judge, but what we're not supposed to be doing is judging the heart. We have to judge. I mean, every time you choose to buy something from department store A versus department store B, you're judging that you would prefer department store A. I mean, that's just, we have to judge. That's just the way it is. But
the Bible clearly says, don't judge.
But it's talking about not judging. It's up to God to be the final judge. It's not for us to judge where they stand relative to God's kingdom. But okay. it's also wrong to be judgmental. So this is why the example I gave with grace. So grace would be able to say to that person that this is wrong with what God says without being judgmental. She would do it in love. So Jesus, okay, so take who was Jesus the toughest on as a society? And it was the religious of the time. The Pharisees of the time, I mean, Jesus called a spade a spade. And, you know, so that's was true. That wrong? I mean, Jesus
well,
certainly
God,
wasn't
though.
Wrong.
He's
well,
God, though.
No,
he gets a God yeah, pass, well, dude. He's like...
that's technically listen, look, not true.
Okay, oh, let's go on a break, and then we'll get back all to right. what Jesus was right after this, because Scott is the man, y'all. And then we'll go down his list again and... keep going down the list into the elderly right after these words on TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Weather-wise, it's quite quiet right now. As a matter of fact, the western part of the United States is very cool. We also have a lot of cool air across Europe this upcoming week. As far as the tropical season, we've had a couple of systems in the western Pacific, but overall, the western Pacific, where most of your tropical activity occurs, has been running way the heck below normal this year. The Atlantic basin is near normal, but their hurricane season really gets cranking a little bit later, and we're expecting a big Atlantic hurricane season this year, so much so, we do know that they are going to try to weaponize that weather event when the hurricanes start coming. In any case, the upcoming week looks cool in the northeast part of the United States. The western part of the United States looks hot in the central part of the United States. Northwest China, eastern Siberia, and Scandinavia into Europe is actually cooler than normal, along with northern Australia. This has been WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for today's news talk. And remember, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
Instead of putting a cracker under a politician, why not some TNT?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Scott Shara. So we were just talking about Jesus. I said he was God. You said that's technically not true. Explain. And we were talking about judgment and the Bible saying you can't judge or you're not supposed to judge. And I agree with you. It's kind of ridiculous. That's why I kind of like asked you about it, because it is, I mean, there's no way not to judge things when you see evil occurring. Like, and I brought up an example, like, what if I see somebody do something atrocious? Am I not supposed to notice that and judge it? You know, so keep going with what you were saying about Jesus.
But Jesus could never use the God card. He always had to do everything as a man. He had to live a sinless life as a man for us to be able to accept him as the one way that we can reconcile with God. If he used the God card, then his death and resurrection didn't have the meaning that it needed to pay the price that God had for sin. So, I mean, he had to do everything as a man. So when he criticized the Pharisees, yeah, he was calling a spade a spade. And that was as a man. But, I mean, Jesus walked faithfully because he always did the will of his Father. And that was a picture of what it means for us to walk faithfully.
Yeah. Jesus couldn't use the God card. He had to walk through life like a man, and it was every bit as hard for me and you. Jesus came through. There you go, dude.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I just want to
the
hit
God
this
that's jump. Called the God Card, the name of my new album coming out on TNT Records this fall.
I want to hit this judgment thing one more time because it's that important. You know, so
yeah, let's do it.
What the Bible warns us of when we are judgmental, the Bible warns us that don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye, worry about the plank in your own eye. And that's the judgmental attitude that we're warned about. The Bible also says that if it wasn't for, you know, the principle here is that if it wasn't for God's grace, we could commit the same sin ourselves. So that's, you asked me about this when we first met, you know, over a month ago, and about how could I have an attitude of forgiveness towards the doctor and nurse? Because, you know, the reality is that I could commit the same sin as that doctor and nurse if it wasn't for God's grace. And that's the attitude that we are supposed to have. And, you know, it's hard to, I mean, it's impossible to have that attitude all the time, but I mean, that's the attitude that God wants us to have. And the only way we can have it is to rely on the will of the Father, just like Jesus did.
Gotcha. What does the Bible say about discernment? Because discernment is also a form of judgment when you really think about it.
Well, this is on the banality of evil. I have that as another one. The school system is training out critical thinking. So critical thinking is discernment, or at least it's a tentacle of discernment. And right now, I mean, that by far and away, that's the second biggest thing I've seen with COVID that surprised me is how dumb our population is. They can't discern anything.
You said it. You know, I just happened to totally agree, but you said it, Scott. I just happened to emphatically agree with to the very core of my being, but I didn't say it. Scott did.
So you can get off the hook if I say the things. That's good stuff.
Yeah, dude. I just happened to agree with every cell in my body doing jumping jacks and waving signs that say, I agree with Scott, but Scott said it.
No.
Anyway, listen, let's keep going down this list. So nursing home culture.
So the nursing home culture is easy to see because the picture I have is in my generation, you took care of your parents. And certainly the generation before me did even a better job of that. But now, you know, if the parent gets to be a certain age and too much to take care of, which doesn't take much anymore, they're instantly get put into a nursing home. And that's now become so common. So that's, again, I would see that as the banality of evil. Cell phones, you see that on the list. I mean,
yeah, I want to go to cell phones, but let me comment on nursing homes because, you know, the correlation I'm making with all these is the sort of ambivalence, this sort of like tagging on this sort of ambivalence of towards humanity, taking away the sacredness of humanity. All these things have that in common, that human life is kind of disposable. It has that attitude towards it. You know what I mean? And that messaging within it.
That's right on. The other ones that are on the list are not as dramatic as those top three, but you're right on that they all have that element where they've convinced us that a human is not as valuable anymore.
Right. Not to be treated with the utmost you know, level of sacredness, you know, that human life, you know, you're almost made fun of if you refer to it as a huge gift, and the sort of abortion issue plays into that, obviously. Okay, go into cell phones then. What about cell phones? They're just like radioactive devices that I'm always sleeping next to and putting up to my head. I have terrible cell phone behavior, dude. I have to admit it. I need to be better. You know, oftentimes I'll sleep just on my cell phone, is on it, on my head. It's terrible.
Well, I mean, it's,
for a conspiracy theorist, I'm really letting myself down in the cell phone department.
I mean, it would be tough to not have a phone. I mean, it's become a tool. I mean, I use it as a tool for business, but regardless of a tool or not tool, I mean, you know, I haven't been vaccinated, but I mean, you don't need it to be vaccinated or unvaccinated. They already know just through our cell phone records who is and who isn't in the whole country. So, I mean, we gave blanket permission when 9/11 happened to monitor, which I'm guessing they were monitoring way before that. But I mean, as you well know, once a government takes away a right in exchange for security, they never give it back. And that is by far and away the scariest piece of what's happening. I mean, people are so willing to trade their rights for security. I mean, that's a sick piece of our population. And that's,
tell me about it, man. Back in 1986, one lunatic took a Bic lighter and a wick on his shoe. And for the rest of our lives, we have to take our shoes off at the airport, dude. It was like, that was a Bic in a fucking, oops. That was a Bic in a, oops. That was a Bic in a, a wick with some water attached and a battery, and all of a sudden, for the rest of our lives. Now, what about water supply, fluoride? Because, like, water supply freaks me out a little bit. I'm always doing bottled water when possible, but then even that's in plastic. And then out here in Arizona, a lot of people have filtration systems. Does that take the fluoride out? What's your take on water and how we do that safely?
Well, we live in the country, so we have a private well, so I don't know how to take fluoride out of the water. But I'm guessing, heard of Dr. Artis's exposure of the water being, I mean, so that certainly put the water on the forefront, and it would be very easy for these elites to get their agenda across with the majority of the population through the water supply. They've already said, so if you believe fluoride is bad, that's the banality of evil, which I believe fluoride is bad. I was told this by my grandfather after the Korean War. And, you know, so I was already convinced of that. So if they have already said, well, we're taking care of your teeth by putting fluoride in the water system, I mean, it sets up that same banality of evil as the vaccination culture, is that, okay, we trust the government to take care of us, and they're really doing harm to us.
Absolutely. You have Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I think that's so true, man. It's a lot of, there's an intense prayer you got to check out called Atomic Prayer. You can get it on YouTube. It's by, I think her name is Pastor Cindy Timms. Check out Atomic Prayer. I've been doing a lot of praying. And what's your take on that? We only have 2 minutes left, but how do you wrestle with the principalities of darkness that are beyond this world?
I think we have to realize that God wins. Our confidence has to be in Him. Those who believe in Him have eternal life. So wrestling against the principalities is to put your faith in systems that are designed to combat them from another of man's ways. So the political system would be an example I would never submit to, because that's putting confidence in man. Our confidence should be in God. And when your confidence is in God, He's your ultimate weapon. He's your whole armor against the principalities. I would say, without question, with all the things that we've been involved with now and the exposure that we're doing with Grace's case, God has chosen to protect us. And I think he's the ultimate protection. He's the only one you can ever count on with 100% certainty.
Amen. Listen, tell people how to help your case. The music's on. I've got about 30 seconds.
Oh, yes.
Quick, Scott.
Grace's story and how to help us is all at ouramazinggrace.net. And thanks for having me again, Joseph.
Dude, I love you, man. I really do. I'm not even just saying that. There's something about you, man. You're the best. Scott, Shara, thank you so much. And please go support his battle against the system. We got to go. Thanks, Scott. We'll have you back on as soon as possible. Keep listening, everybody. We'll be right back for more on TNT.